Well, we're going to have a special blessing today, a special person. A friend of mine is actually going to be speaking, not me. And this is a friend of mine who has had a big impact on you and on this place, maybe without you knowing it. She's been on staff here at Crossroads for a few years. And before that, she was working at P&G. And while she was at P&G, she was a volunteer in our student ministry. And she had my oldest daughter, Lena, in her small group. And my family has really been blessed as a result of who she is and her building into our home, even without her knowing it. So it's great that you're going to be able to get something for her today. So why don't you welcome up Allie Patterson to our stage here today. And Allie, this is it. You've done like a run through yesterday, Saturday night, two this morning.
Yeah.
It's your last one.
Do you have every weekend?
I don't know. Well, you're doing it today. Do you have the energy for it? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. You guys have a good reputation.
Yes.
The 11:45 crowd.
Yes, it is. Yeah. This is the party crowd.
Yeah,
yes, they are.
Apparently.
Although the special young partiers are away seeing their mom and dad in other cities, but
this
is a special crew. So you gonna take care of her today?
Yeah,
yes,
be
okay,
nice to me.
There you go.
Thanks. Hey, everybody. I'm Allie. Thank you for the warm welcome. I'm serious. You do have a reputation, apparently. I'm not usually in the 11:45 service, but I know a bunch of these guys who are usually up here, and they say you're a lot of fun. So I hope that's true. Anyhow, happy Mother's Day to all you moms. I heard a hilarious thing on the radio, and I've shared this at every service just because it really made me laugh. So maybe it'll speak to some of you moms. Yesterday, I was listening to the radio, and on one of the stations, they were having the kids call in and say things about what moms were or who moms are or what they do, and this boy called in. I don't know. Maybe he was 10 or 12 years old, and he called in, and he said, "Moms pretty much do everything that dads don't want to do, which is almost everything." And I laughed in my car. I mean, I laughed out loud for about 5 minutes on that one, and I thought maybe some of you moms would appreciate hearing that, so I certainly did. I'm a mom, too, and this is my second official Mother's Day with a kid. This is my baby. That's Andrew. And yes, I checked the picture. I realize we're just one toy away from an X rating, but it's cool. Everything's good. That's my little guy. His name's Andrew. I'll be talking about him a little bit today, here and there, and he's 18 months old this month. I think that was taken a couple months ago. So anyhow, happy Mom's Day. And my mom surprised me and showed up to the last service, and she lives in Columbus. So I didn't know she was coming. That was a nice Mother's Day treat. So we are not today just talking about moms, although I am one, so I'll certainly talk about that. We are talking about families, and families being the most fundamental level of home that we have here on earth. Throughout the series, we're going to be looking at all of these different realms of home, whether that's our immediate families or our city or even our entire planet, and or maybe just our spiritual family and our spiritual home. We're going to be talking about each one of these, but this week we're talking about the people who actually live in our houses with us, whoever that is for you guys. And you might be wondering, why am I up here? What is it that brought me to be the one who's talking to you this weekend? Well, as Brian mentioned, I'm on staff here. I have been for a couple years, and for the last few months, I've been working with the team that puts together the services each weekend. There were a handful of us who were sitting around talking about the fact that the home series started on Mother's Day weekend. And did we want to do something different or acknowledge moms in some special way? We're just kind of brainstorming about that. And Brian seemed to spark to that idea and said, "Hey, we really haven't done anything like that for quite a long time around here. And so why don't we do something? Like, why don't we talk to moms or do something around Mother's Day?" Because we usually just say Happy Mother's Day and we move on. And I said, "You know, no offense, Brian, love you. I don't know if I want you talking to me about being a mom. There's just something that feels a little off about that." And I said, "There's a lot you could say to me, and I would listen to you on almost everything, but being a mom, I don't know." So we walked away from that meeting, and a couple weeks later, I was signed up to do this weekend. that'll teach me to open my big fat mouth in a meeting. Anyhow, I will be sharing with you some stuff that I just feel like God has been doing in my home and my family for the past few years, and this kind of this process that he's had me in to walk me back toward my home and toward my family from whence I came, which you'll understand later. I didn't get any talking points from anyone. I don't have any Bible verses people ask me to make sure I worked in here somehow. I'm really just sharing with you kind of the truth about God that I'm seeing through my home and through my family and how that's all gone down for me. And I hope that some of that will maybe be useful for you as well. I'm going to start with the first thing I'm going to tell you is actually the last thing that clicked for me, but it will set us up well. And this understanding really didn't hit me until just a few months ago. I have realized that my family is actually a calling on my life. I've never thought about my family like that. My family is a calling on my life. I don't know who these people are for you that live in your house. For me, it's Bill, my husband, and Andrew, who you just met. For some of you, maybe that's maybe your grandparents who have grandchildren living with you, or maybe you live alone and you're just a grown kid relating back to your parents and trying to figure that all out. But I never thought about my family like this. This was not at all, when someone would say calling to me, that would conjure up things like purpose and main point and something I would actually structure other things in my life around. And that's just never how I had ever thought about my family in the past. Well, I don't believe that this is the only calling that God will ever put on me, nor do I believe maybe that's the only one that he has for me even right now. But what it's been for me is this process of walking into the understanding that they are actually a calling on my life. And because of that, I will do things differently. I would actually make choices differently than I would if I didn't think of them like that. Well, I'm not sure how you think of these people that are living under your roof, but I know that's not good news for a lot of us. That we've spent an awful lot of time and energy just staying away from each other. And even frankly, on my worst moments years ago with my family and my own husband, I would think these are just people living in my house. This is just a guy who lives in the same house as me. And we're all over the map here. I know there are some of us who already know this. This isn't news for you that your family could actually potentially be one of their very reasons why you're here. But for me, this was news. I found this in the Bible in the book of 1 Timothy, and it says this. There's instructions being given for who can lead other people in their faith. And here's what it says. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Well, this is just some instructions that are being given about who amongst us could actually lead someone else in their faith and their walk with God. And what I hear in this is just that this is kind of a key thing. This family thing is kind of a big deal. That when we look at someone's life, the state of their family and the state of their home, we should be able to see their faith in God through the state of their home. Wow. That's certainly not how I thought about either my family or my faith. And maybe you don't want to lead other people. Maybe you're not a church leader and you never want to be. That's cool. Later in the same passage, the writer says this to all of us. He says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith. Denied the faith. Well, crap. I mean, this seems to be really a central thing. Did I just say that? I haven't said that in any other service. It seems to me that when you look at the state of my family, you should see maybe even whether I have faith at all. And this was such a fundamentally different way of thinking about how someone might look from the outside in, but it made sense to me.
I have a friend who's a teacher, and she will tell me stories sometimes about the kids in her classroom, and usually the ones that she chooses to tell me, something is not, like, something's happened. You know, it's not the sweet child that never, you know, never does anything wrong in the front row. But she'll tell me some story, some incident that's gone down in her room and how she's had to deal with it. And so often at the end of the story, she'll say something like, "But Allie, I really like this kid. I just know he's really struggling at home." And I get it. It just kind of makes sense. And I think that's sort of what I was seeing in these verses, which is your home life. The state of it, it kind of bleeds out. You sort of see that in a lot of other places. And when you look at someone's life from the outside in, you should be able to have a clue. And their home life is very important in understanding, where are they? Is their life in order? Is their faith really being walked out? Well, I just didn't ever really understand this. And this was the last thing I want to share with you is something from the life of Jesus in one of the biographies of his life in the book of John. And here's what we see there. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here's your son." And to the disciple, "Here's your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Well, the setting here is literally near the last moments of the life of Jesus. He's on the cross at this point. And even if you don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, or you're not sure what to make of that yet, you can certainly appreciate this scene. I mean, he's not doing well. This is just minutes before he dies. And he takes the time right here, and I'd never read it like this before, and he just accepts, "I'm an earthly son with an earthly mother who's gonna be alone, and I'm gonna provide for her." And he doesn't do it with, you know, miracles and angels. He does it by handing her over to his very best friend. Just the flesh and blood guy that he spent a lot of time with, and he gives his mother over to her. Well, I was just really taken with that idea that Jesus, who I believe was God, with one of his last acts on the face of the earth, just simply provided for his mom. And then I felt really bad that I'm on my way out of here to Target to buy my mom a last minute Mother's Day card. That just kind of paled in comparison. Well, before I could accept that I really had a calling to my family and that should mean something in my life, what I had to walk through before that was getting that my family is not about me. My family is really about God. And I know that this is a strange concept, and I'm going to tell you a little about what I mean, but my family, it's always been there. It's this thing that has always been there. And it never occurred to me that its very existence was so that I would know God more. And, I believe God gives us the relationships under our very roof for the purpose of teaching us about who He is. There seems to be two that come up over and over and over again, and they're the big ones. One of them is parents and children, and the other is husbands and wives. It seems that in Scripture, over and over we read that these relationships are somehow different, and they seem to be the ones that God picks all the time to use words or metaphors or comparisons, or He names Himself Father, or He calls us certain things. And it just seems that these very constructs, these very folks that live in our house, they're what He's talking about. I started to ask myself the question of what makes these two relationships so different? What makes them different than the others? And what I've arrived at, the best that I can explain, and in my own words, is that they're the two relationships that require us, if we're to love those people, to give stuff up. That we would have to lose ourselves to some extent inside that relationship in order to love someone else. And this is it. This is God's very unique brand of love, isn't it? This is what he says he's done for all of us. And he gives us these ways, these relationships in our lives to say, you know what, to help you understand me, I'm going to tell you it's kind of like this. It's kind of like a parent and a child. Or it's kind of like a husband and a wife. And he certainly talks about other relationships, about brothers and sisters, about friendship and those things. But these seem to be the big two. And I think it's because of the uniqueness of losing ourselves, of giving things up. Well, I thought about this kind of love and I remembered something that my own parents decided that they would do. And I have two older brothers. John and Jim are their names. I'm the youngest of three. And my parents, we don't come from a wealthy family. My parents have both always worked and worked pretty hard. And they decided a long time ago that one of the things they were going to do just to love us was they were going to put all three of us through college or through school, whatever kind of school we wanted to go to after high school. So they did that. And as I was receiving them writing the checks for my tuition, don't get me wrong, I was very grateful, but it wasn't until now, as I began to consider the kind of love that this really is, that it kind of hit me what they did. They spent probably 30 years giving stuff up just to give me something, just to love me. They don't have any, I hope, expectation that I'm going to write them a big check at some point. They just decided that's a way I want to love my kid, and that's what they did. There are lots of parents who make choices like that all the time, and that seems to be something that happens inside that relationship, and I just remembered them doing that for me, and I sort of thought, wow, the only point was my freedom. The only point was them saying, I love you. I want you to start your adult life with no debt. That's just something I want to give you. And it required 30 years of loss for them, 35 years of loss to do that. Wow. It was just stunning to me when I put those glasses on and I looked at that relationship and that gift a totally different way. I know that not all of us have nice stories about our families paying for our college. I certainly have as many ugly ones as I do pretty ones like that. And some of us have families that we would be hard pressed to say actually show us God in any real way. As a matter of fact, I know some of you, I've been around here a while, and I know you have family stories about feeling more driven away from God than pulled to him as a result of your family. Well, families, when I thought about that, families sort of remind me of how I once heard somebody describe P&G. I worked at P&G for 6 years, and I'll tell you more about that later, but my friend said, P&G is just a bunch of nice people driving each other crazy. And I know that's true, right? Some of you work there. It is true. And I thought families are sort of like this. I've certainly thought about that in my own family. And I thought even in my worst days, you know, who are these people and why won't you just leave me alone? Well, thank God, God's agenda for us is not that our family work perfectly. It's not Hallmark Christmas or, you know, that nobody ever get into arguments with one another. It's not even that you never appear on the Dr. Phil show. It is only that you know him. And he's not pursuing perfection of your family. It's these relationships, though, that he's picked just to show you who he is and to try to say, this is kind of how I love you. Well, I saw this in my relationship with my own son, and as I was looking through the Bible, I did a word search, and I found that God calls himself or is called by someone else Father over 1,000 times in Scripture. And this verse in 1 John says this. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. This just says it point blank. We're children of God. If we follow him, we're his children. It doesn't say we're his seedlings or we're his cubs or we're his puppies. It says we're his children. I think that means something specific. I think that means something that says this relationship, this parent-child thing, it can inform me about God. And that might be his whole purpose. Well, I saw this with Andrew. I've seen this now more than a couple of times, but this is my favorite one. We were going up the stairs, and he's 18 months old, so he insisted on doing it alone. I must do this by myself. So he's climbing, and I'm kind of behind him like this. And about halfway up, he got about 6 or 7 stairs up, and he just stopped, and he turned around, and he put his arms up, and he said, "Up, Mama, up." Just like that. I just froze and I went, I'm supposed to be like that with God. That's what I'm supposed to do with God. Even if I start something alone and I just need him or I want him or I can't continue on my own, I'm just supposed to turn around and put my arms up with no pride and say, up. And I got it in that second with my son. I got it. I have read a million times different Bible verses about how God rescues me or how God comforts me. And for some reason, experiencing it inside that relationship with my son, I just got it. I got it different. And I know I'll never forget that. So now I'm always running around the house going, all right, what's he doing now? What can I learn from him now? You know, there's this little living, breathing tutor on the nature of a child who's running around in my house. And God seems to be saying to us, this should be telling you something about me. Great. There's something intuitive, about father and kids. That seems right. God's this big God and we're these little people and that all just feels somehow intuitive. But what about husbands and wives? This is the one that for me, it's harder to see. It's harder to do. It's harder to even understand what is God's intention in the middle of that and how am I supposed to be seeing him? There certainly aren't many people who I know that would say, their marriages really, really demonstrate this in any way. But we're told about this in the book of Ephesians when it says this. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is a profound mystery. But I am talking about Christ and the church. Well, the writer here, first of all, I know some of you are going, Allie, what are you doing? You're killing me with this. Seriously, it's Mother's Day. What are you saying to me? I don't want to talk about this. My point in sharing this with you is not to get you fired up, is to say he's talking about Jesus and us. We're the church. And he's saying, I'm explaining to you how husbands and wives relate in a way that if you choose to do that way, you'll see me. You'll understand how I love my people if you relate to each other that way. Well, that's certainly, as most of us who are married know, that's not the only way you can relate to your spouse. You can choose to do it a lot of other ways. But he's just saying, there's a way where you could see more of me, where I would kind of tutor you on my love for you. On that special brand of love where you give stuff up to love someone else and then you get to see who I am a little bit more clearly. Well, this is kind of where I'll begin my family story and just invite you into that a little bit. My husband, Bill, and I got married in 99. We were both coming out of school. I was coming out of my undergrad and he was coming out of law school. And we got married about 2 weeks after we both graduated. We moved down here to Cincinnati and we were excited. I mean, we were kind of, I remember a moment on our honeymoon where I was like, oh my God, we're free. We're free. And it was just an exciting time. And, we certainly had a desire to love each other and commit to each other in marriage. And yet we were certainly very concerned about some other stuff as well. We moved down here to Cincinnati. I was going to work at Procter & Gamble and he was, starting his, job, which, he eventually left to go to the law firm that he's in now. But we both, we were very interested in establishing our careers and both very, found some early success there and were working very hard and had a lot of other interests as well. I was training for marathons at the time. I don't know why. You could ask me why even now. And now I don't do that anymore, but I guess I had a couple year lapse or something where I decided that sounded like a good plan. So I would spend a lot of hours outside of work, running. And Bill would play volleyball or softball, and maybe a typical day for us was going to work. We probably worked, I don't know, anywhere between 40 and 60 hours a week, depending on the week, and I would travel quite a bit eventually on down the line after I worked at P&G for a while, and we would come home maybe at around 8. I would have run, Bill would have played some sport, and we'd meet at home around 8 o'clock, scrape together some food, go to bed. And as we now look back, we can see that those were the beginnings of patterns that would be very hard to later undo in our marriage, where we just found ourselves being two independent people out of the same house. And we liked each other a lot, and we got along real well, but for the most part, we were pursuing similar and like-minded interests from the same place. That's more or less what our family consisted of at that point. Well, as a wife, when I got married, that didn't mean a lot to me. I was excited to be a wife. I just didn't understand anything. It wouldn't have caused me to do anything different just because I was becoming someone's wife. That didn't really mean anything specific to me at the time. Well, later, if you had known me, actually, you probably always, if you'd known me at any point in my past, would have described me as very independent, very independent-minded, and very strong-willed. Well, maybe you would still call me strong-willed today, but I just realized I had this pattern inside of my marriage, and Bill to some extent as well, of just living and making decisions very independent of one another. Eventually, along the line, God started to get a hold of my life and of Bill's, and eventually of our home. And exactly how that all went down, that's probably another story to be told on another day. But needless to say, I ended up leaving P&G after a little over 6 years there, and I came to work here at Crossroads. And our family started to change a little bit. And right around this time, I remember rereading that verse in Ephesians and starting to think about that. I'm not sure that really feels like my marriage. And I realized I had gotten pretty good at going to God with stuff. And if I needed to make a decision in my life, or I was just afraid of something or dealing with something, I got pretty good at talking to God about that or praying with him about that. And what I realized is I wasn't very good at doing that with Bill. And slowly over time, I felt maybe like this nudge inside me that those things that I was used to doing with God and that I was getting really good at doing with God, that maybe I should be doing those things with Bill too. That I should be somehow inviting him into that relationship. Well, as I tried to do that, I thought, I think that's what that verse is saying. I think it's saying, as I would do to God, so I would do to Bill. That I would just include him in those things, and maybe we would start to relate somehow differently. So I would do that. I would try that. And sometimes I would share stuff with him and he would just go, all right. And that would be about it. So we just sort of fumbled our way into relating to each other in a different way. And I really got, like, maybe 7 or 8 months ago, Bill offered this up, and I realized it was just an example to me that, wow, something really had started to change. He said to me, I've noticed you always have the baby on the beginning of the day and on the end of the day, and maybe that feels constraining for you. Like, you can never, like, meet a friend for a cup of coffee or, you know, you don't have any freedom on your day is very, very structured. Well, maybe I could take Andrew, you know, here or there or wherever we need to have him be, whatever day of the week it is. Maybe we could just pick out a day of the week where I did that instead of you. And I went, yeah, that sounds good. and it was just random and extending me freedom out of service to me. And I just thought, what a marker and how we've changed. And I just realized in that moment we had created this new way where we were actually looking for ways again, on our best days, not all the time, but we were finding ways to love each other and to serve each other differently than we had in the past. Well, right about this time, maybe call it a year or so ago, there were some things around my home that just started to bug me. And bug me like something's off here bug me. Not bother me like annoy me, although they did sometimes. Here's a few. One of them was this. Bill would work all week. He works pretty long hours, and he would work all week. And then because I worked here, he would care for Andrew for a part or all of the weekend. And he loved that, loves the dad time, loves being with our boy. But I noticed that he wasn't resting very much. Like, he just didn't have a lot of downtime because of that pattern in our family. And I started to notice little things around our house. We had a long running joke that, we had light bulbs burned out all over the house. You just go into a room, you don't know, the lamp might turn on, it might not, I don't know. And, the clocks all read different times. Any clock that required batteries, they'd run down. I just couldn't be bothered. I couldn't replace the batteries. Couldn't be bothered with that. They all read different times. And that started to bother me. Those things were really starting to bother me. Well, here was kind of the icing on the cake. And this is when I realized, my mom was coming to visit. And my parents live in Columbus, and they'll drive down every now and then to visit us. And, well, a little more now that we have their only grandchild. So my mom would come, and I realized, kind of by accident on some of her visits, that she was bringing her own bath towel and her own coffee. Seriously. She was bringing her own coffee. Well, at first that just really bugged me. I mean, that just really bugged me. After I got over the fact that I was just annoyed by that, then I realized what she had come to was to expect me not to prepare for her. And that really sunk in. That really embarrassed me on some level. It really bothered me on some level that my own parents, they just kind of knew, oh, they're a little overwhelmed. They're not gonna prepare for us. Well, and they were just being gracious, trying to make it okay. They'll just bring their own coffee. My mom really likes her coffee. She'll just bring it with her. But that bothered me. Well, I think these were seeds that God was later going to water, and he really did that in one particular moment. And I was in my upstairs. We live in Anderson. Love our house. We've only lived there since about October. And we have a big linen closet in the upstairs hallway. And I walked into the linen closet one day and pulled it open, and I was looking for one of those hooded towels for my son's bath. And I went to reach for one, and there were none there. And I went, who hasn't done the laundry? Who is it? Oh, yeah, that was me who didn't do the laundry. And I heard this voice inside me that said, Allie, your home will always be undone without you. I thought about that, and I thought about it for a long time, and then it just kept ringing inside me over the next week or so. And I decided that was God's voice. I think that I heard God in that moment. I think that was what he was saying to me, that there's something unique about me being the wife, about me being the mom, and frankly, just about me being Allie, that no one else will ever be able to do. There's no other person who's going to come and live at my house that will ever care for my family, will ever lose themselves in the middle of their family the way that I can if I choose to. And if I don't, I will just leave things undone. And that's what I was experiencing. All these little points of tension I was feeling and all these strange things that were bothering me. I think they were just telling me inside, this is really about you embracing the fact that it's you. No one else is coming to serve you. These are the things that were cues to me that I hadn't really yet embraced the fact that I had a calling to my family and that I could care for them in ways that nobody else could care for them. And I have to stop and say, it's not about the laundry. It's not about the laundry. It even bothers me that this happened in a linen closet, because I would hate for you to think that I would dumb down the love that I would have for my family to chores that I would do for them. It's way more than that. It just so happened that God was bugging me with little things along the way that were telling me this. He was just using what was available to bother me with this idea that I hadn't in my heart of hearts really come to fully embrace that idea and that call on my life. Well, as Bill and I considered what this might mean over the next few weeks, we talked about it a lot, and I realized I had to make a choice. A choice for my family and against something else. Well, the biggest something else in my life, just by the sheer number of hours that I would spend doing it, was my job here. And that's when I read the 1 Timothy verse again. And it says this, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith. But that's what I was doing here. That's what led me here to begin with. My job here at Crossroads, I would never have come here if I didn't love God and want to act out my faith in some very real way in my life. But it was sinking in that I could spend hours and years doing things that were very God-honoring and still deny a fundamental piece of my faith if I left my family, if I didn't bring myself fully into my family first, not only first. And it started to hit me that this really could mean different stuff for us. And so we decided to celebrate this by me spending all of Mother's Day weekend by doing all the messages here and working all of Saturday and all of Sunday. And anyway, we thought that sounded like a good way to celebrate that. In all reality, I do think it will mean that I will work less. We are still in the middle of figuring out some of what this might mean for our family, but I know there are folks in here who have long embraced the fact that their family is a calling. You don't need me to tell you that. You've been doing that faithfully for a long time as a husband or as a mother or what have you. I think there are as many or more of us, though, that need God to do something like he did with me, where he just takes you by the hand, bugs you with stuff, and walks you right back into your family. I believe he'll continue to do that in my life and in all of your lives as well, because I think his agenda is that we know him. And it just seems like that's the very place, those are the very relationships that he's picked to teach us about who he is and how much he loves us. And I think that's why he wanted me realizing this. And as I've invited him into those places, I know now that his intentions for my family and for me are peace. He intends for me to be at peace. And I can tell you the place that I've most deeply felt that is just on the inside, just in my spirit, if you will. Like these things that were bothering me, they're not there anymore. There's a peace there as we've started to engage in this and decide what this means for our family and how we want to do things in our home. I just feel more at peace. And I know that's his intention for you also. Now, I know that this is the first time that I've ever spoken to you, and I probably don't have the right to really issue you any big challenge, but I'm going to anyway. I believe that God has something he wants to do in families. Here at Crossroads in Cincinnati, all over the world. I think he wants us to know him and that he's going to do something that walks you back to your family in some way, whether that's a small way or whether that's a big way. I believe he's doing that and that's his intention for you. So I'm going to pray for that for all of you, and I'm just going to bless you because, I appreciate you listening to me and being a fun 11:45 crowd. So God, thank you. Thank you for all the people in this place, and thank you for what you're doing in lives here. I bless you for the way that you've put together family relationships so that we can know you. And I thank you for helping me to see you in the middle of that mess. And I ask you today that you would do that for any person here whose heart is open to you and says, I'd be up for that, God. I pray that you would meet them now, right now, and that you would walk them into that. And you would just continue to hunt us down, God, until our homes are at peace. And I just bless you especially for the moms, and that ask that they would just feel your heart for them and your love for them in a special way today on Mother's Day.